It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Happy Labor Day. Happy New Moon this September 2nd, 2024. If you're listening live, it is about 8 a.m. on the Pacific Coast, 11 a.m. on the East Coast, 9 a.m. on Mountain Time, and you can figure out the rest. This is Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. How are you? It's a holiday for a lot of you. That means you are hopefully not laboring and enjoying some time under this Virgo moon. Probably some of you thinking about catching up with the last few days of summer. It's funny. It never ends, that thought about how just fast it's moving. And it is moving fast, right? It is. And I think sometimes it's about changing it up so it feels like it's like things are different. And because, you know, I do the same thing pretty much every day. Little different things. I'm still baking bread. I'm still having a good time. I'm still really appreciating my boys, the walks we take, the morning coldness, saying hi to neighbors. It's kind of like, God, you act like a retired guy. Guess what? I'm really not. I still work. We still have One to Listen. We still have One to Radio. We still do this stuff. But, you know, it's like there is moments where you go, what else do you want to do? What else do you feel like doing? What, you know, what else is there? You have this free time. And it's funny because we used to work the store 7 days a week. And I remember thinking, I wish life didn't give me so much of a schedule. I wish I just had this time. What would you do with it? And I do fill it up and it's fun. And I think that's why sometimes it all feels like it's just moving really fast. I hope you're happy. I hope you're feeling the sort of Virgo-ness, because this, I want to talk to you about the Virgo thing, that how it has an effect on us, how it can, to me, Virgo can be one of the ones that brings us into a sense of depression. And I'll talk to you about why. First, let's get you over to the chat room and see how you're doing. And if you want to join in, if you just want to watch, feel free. If you can't, I know that for a lot of you, you can't get over there. It's okay. Or you'd rather not be a part of that, you know, social media thing. That's beautiful. No judgment. It's just the only place we could get like a free chat room that was safe because, you know, it's private. You kind of have to show who you are. These days, it's even, you know, more so. So, but if you want to come over, you just go over to 12radio.com and click the chat link on the left-hand side. It'll bring you over. If you've never been there before, you probably have to ask permission to get in, and we will accept you. And when you do get in, you'll see that Jay, producer, friend, advisor at 12listen.com, has put up, Jay wears many hats, right? And you've heard him on the show before me with Carolyn. Great show they do together. They have such a sweet chemistry. It's so nice to listen to it, especially right before my show, because I can sort of tune into how the energies are moving. But if you can, come over, get into the chat room. It is a holiday today, so people's missions are off, and I understand that. So it might not be as busy as we are used to, but more intimacy for us, right? You can click the comments button and then click the word top comments and change it to all comments, and you can see everybody in the room. And I'm doing that right now, by the way. And I see Quelly. Quelly, welcome, Grand Rising Mark and 1-2 family. New Moon and Labor Day blessings. Virgo Rising is here. She's a Virgo Rising. That's right. You can tell. If you can feel it. I'm going to talk to you all about that. Spent all day Saturday deep cleaning. And now, deep cleaning my now moved out son's room all day. I have not been able to stop cleaning and organizing since. Isn't that great? It's a great feeling. I hope it's a good feeling that your son moved. I hope that's good for you and a feeling of clearing and still the love and connection between you two. Lynn, thanks for being here, Lynn. Happy new moon. Shout out to all our Virgo mamas. Yeah. You know, I'm part of that club. Lynn's part of that club. John's part of that club. Children of Virgo mamas and even fathers. If you have a Virgo father, you can join the club. We're the kids that really knew that plastic was a fabric, and we really enjoyed the life of having, you know, for me, having a mother whose sole desire in life was to be reclusive, and she had a family. So, okay, we'll figure that one out. Another wonderful Monday from Charlene. My favorite day of the week. Looked around my home and decided to listen to words of wisdom from Mark before I throw everything out. That's so sweet. I have none for you. None. I have been throwing things out for over 3 months now. John and I have, like, if we haven't used it in 2 years, it's out. I got one of those waste management. They're $35 bagsters, and you can put anything you want in them. Rugs, you know, whatever. Anything. If you can lift it, racks, old clothing racks, whatever. You throw it in there, and they come pick it up. And you can wait for a sale. They have sales where they go, we'll pick it up if you do it this week. If you make your appointment this week, we'll knock, you know, 50% off the price of picking it up. Because usually a little over $100 till you have them come pick it up. But you can fill it with anything, furniture. And I've been doing that along with the VA vet pickup, the people who write you and say, pick up, please. Because they'll take and distribute without question so many things, and they've been really great. So we always try to put a little envelope of a tip on the person who's loading the truck. I say that because I think we forget sometimes to be kind if you can. If you have a little extra, you know, it doesn't hurt, throw $5 or $10 in a little envelope and thank the person who's loading this truck for you because you're emptying your house, right? So I say, even though Marie Kondo did change her tune a little since she had children, she's not so like, it's okay to have clutter. She's like, oh my God, I can't make my toddler put this stuff away. So she's changed. It's good. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to look around and sort of like, if you haven't touched it in a while, if it's just sitting out, this is my curse because I'd rather do something else. But then that feeling when it's done, like, ah, this feels really kind of good, kind of works. But I just won't let myself do it yet. I'm getting there. But throw it out if you can. Put it away if you can. Most importantly, give it away. Like, I'm serious. The whole thing about, you know, somebody's trash is somebody else's treasure. But don't give trash. I mean, throw your stuff away that you're not using and bless it and make it look good before you give it away. Don't just throw it in a bag and go, oh, got rid of that. It's like, clean it. Do something nice. We do that when we recycle. We wash everything. Just to be kind in a way, I think it's sort of virtue signaling for us. Me saying it is virtue signaling for sure. But getting it clean so that it's not a lot fly ridden, you know, all the recycled stuff is kind of, that's, and I say we, I don't touch it. So there, I'm guilty of having somebody who is amazing with a lot of Virgo. We'll talk about that. Renee, thanks for being here. Maya, thanks for coming. Hi, Jennifer Lakshmi's in the house saying hi to everybody. She's also an advisor at One Two and a great astrologer. She has a great YouTube video. Find it, Jennifer Lakshmi Dove. Hi, Tara. She's, let me see what this GIF is. It's cute. It says summoning holidays. Wait a minute, holiday. It won't open for me, Tara, but it looks adorable, Tara. Kelly, thanks for being here. Oh, you're September 19th. God, did you make it into Libra or did you just like sort of where you were just playing, not making sure you could decide whether or not you wanted to be a Virgo or a Libra? Good morning, Mark. And what's your family? That's truly. So you guys, let's talk a little bit about the Virgo thing. This is a Virgo new moon. I should be really way more excited about it than I am. But notice that under a Virgo new moon, this is what I sound like. When we had other new moons, I'd be like, oh, happy. And I'm not unhappy. Make no mistake. But the Virgo moon sort of adds a certain like, oh, you know, I'm starting to notice. Why is this stuff? I was looking for this stuff. Seriously, I'm telling you this now. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I have been looking for it everywhere. It's sitting right here on top of this daggone desk. That's a Virgo thing. And so so here's what a new moon does. So new moon, the moon's getting darker all week, right? And we come around and today it's tonight. Okay. That's why it still hasn't popped. Tonight, the sun and moon will be exactly at the same point in space and that pops it. That's when it changes. So right now, technically, we're still losing some light, right? And so it's or waning, right? And the way you remember the difference between waning and waxing, I think of the old commercials, wax buildup. Wax builds up. And so wax is getting fatter. And waning is releasing. So it's releasing light all for the last 2 weeks from the full moon, right? And so after today, after tonight, it starts getting fatter. And it starts, you know, we start getting, looking forward to that full moon. So we're starting to get light again at tonight. So tonight, about 6 something Pacific, we put it in the Power Peak, markhusson.com. Get in there. 9999 is the password to get in this week. Please join, though. We'd love to see you sign up for the mailing list. Not nagging you, but I could. So this tonight, the moon hits, and at that moment, things shift. It changes. And if you know, if you're aware of it, you can, and I usually don't talk like that. Usually I don't talk about this moment in time when the planets do something, except for the moon. The moon moves so fast. I like those moments. I like paying attention to them. But of course, I'm a Cancer ruled by the moon, so it might have a little more weight for me. But what happens is at that moment tonight, we see the change in direction. The moon is now moving to the other side of the sun, and it's starting to now allow light to show on its face until it gets to the opposite of the sun on the other side of us. You know, we're in the middle, sun on one side, moon on the other, and we look to the moon and we see it can show us the whole face of this, like the sun, the light that hits it. Right now it's dark, and that's what sometimes we can feel like on new moons. We can feel a little, right? And so use it. This is the last moment it's releasing light. Energetically, this is the last moment where you get to let go of stuff. And not just the stuff in your home, which is a perfect time to do it, by the way. If that was, yeah, I think that was Charlene that mentioned it. It's a perfect time to let go of the stuff in your house, but it's a perfect time to let go of your grievances, of your hurt, of the thing. You know, what is a hurt? What is a grievance? It's like the story we tell ourselves that somebody did to us. It's like, or that something happened to us. I do it all the time. I see it all the time in myself when I'm, there's something really comforting about lamenting about how abused I was as a child. And it's not abuse. It is a sort of self-absorption that I feel like my family had that didn't include me. And simultaneously, and this is the duality of Virgo, simultaneously freed me up from awful, awful, awful tied in obligations that often families bring to their people. You don't know how many people I have around me that are so tied to family. And I love it. I watch it. I appreciate it. But even in the midst of them, I can realize I'm so grateful for the people I love and that I have close to me. But I'm also grateful that I don't have obligatory, guilt-ridden, have to energy floating. And that is because of my life. Now, so in other words, I can't blame people for being tied into family and being tied into the people that they love, even if they live 1,000 miles away from them. Because that's, I mean, they were woven to a place of closeness. That's really sweet. Even if they don't like them, they still have a place of closeness. I wasn't bonded there. So it didn't happen for me. I'm a Sun-Uranus conjunction. You could have predicted, and John has told me this all the time, he could have looked at my chart and predicted I would not have bonded in that way. I would have craved it, but I wouldn't have done it in the same way. So, Aquarians have the same issue. Virgos have a similar issue. Because, I mean, and I know all of my Virgo friends, I have a few, are tied in and feel bad about it. Because, you know, remember I used to tell you parents would have Virgo children because that child is the one that's going to take care of them. That's not why you have them, right? But that is often what happens. The Virgo child is the one that goes, step aside, let me take care of this. I'm the only one who knows how to do it right. And they aren't wrong, ever. And so the Virgo thing, and that's why I want to talk to you about it, because you have it in you. We all have Virgo in us, and it's amplified right now. It's so amplified right now that I'm sure, you're doing the same pattern that we talk about Virgos doing. You just may not be able to recognize it. And let me give you a few examples. Martyrdom. Are you feeling sorry for yourself? A little, just a little. Mommy. I mean it. Are you feeling like, did you feel like you can feel your grievances? You can count them. You can just look around and count them. Is that something going on lately? Are you feeling, you kind of wish you had a little alone time, a little more alone time? You kind of wishing all these obligations and all these people would kind of go away? It's a Virgo thing. It's a Virgo thing. Are you dreading the upcoming election? And I mean, you don't have to be a Virgo to dread the upcoming election, but you might be dreading the constant hearing about it, the constant grievances, the constant sorting through what's true and what isn't true. It's just constant. I want you to get a feel for this because Virgo is an earth sign. Virgo is, so what's that mean is that Virgo is focused on the physical things around us out here. Every Virgo. You can say, no, I'm not. I hate it out here. It's exactly right because you're pushing against the very thing I'm talking about. It's still about that thing. So every Virgo has this thing where it's sort of like, and so get this. They're ruled by Mercury, the thinking, the brain. So now this earth sign is taking the thinking, the thought, the details, the every item in their reality, and it fits somewhere. It has to. Even the most messy of messy Virgos, right? The most chaotic Virgos that you ever want to meet have an order to something in their head. And they're the hardest ones to please because that order is so quirky. So belongs to them. I mean, we'll get into it, but I mean, you think about serial killers. I'm not saying Virgos are serial killers, but man, serial killers kind of fit that thing. They seem like the loner, the person who's like weird at home, sort of putting together logic in a way that's sort of like, rah, 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 rah. It has to feed a sexual something. Rah, 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 rah. Well, Virgo has that duality. An extreme passion, but an extreme sort of like pure desire for purity. And in its most messed up part is where we would burn something, burn it to get it clean, but then there's no germs on it, but now it's useless. Okay. If you have an area of your life where you're sorting through and using your brain to sort through the conclusion to its inevitable conclusion, that's probably, it's probably ruled by Virgo. And that area in your life that you're doing that is being scrutinized right now. And it's okay. That's what we do. The Virgo part of you scrutinizes. I remember talking to John, I'm so critical of people around me, of the world I see. I have such a critic. It's really, I mean, you take, and my 11th house, the house of other people, friends, dreams, ruled by Virgo. I have Jupiter in Virgo. It's sort of like, oh, so I can see like all the flaw. But the problem is a lot of that is a distraction, Virgo, from looking at your own. Because what you do is, what Virgos do is they tear themselves up. Okay, so for example, if you're the type of person that has this, oh my God, there's a stain on my blouse and I wore it out today and everybody saw it and you just hate it, you're just ruminating about it, you're obsessing about it, that kind of thing. The only reason you're doing that is because that's what you do to the world. You're looking at the world and you're criticizing every moment of it, everything of it. You see people, why do they wear that? I remember I told you Louise, when Louise visited, she has strong Virgo in her chart. She said to me, I said, that person really loved you. And she said, yeah, but nobody ever told them they shouldn't wear stripes, horizontal stripes. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. So see, in her mind, it was sort of like she wasn't feeling very good. She was having a really hard time with her sinuses. I remember this. And so she kept changing. She was changing her outer jacket on and off, on and off. And I was thinking like, that's just a defense. Like that's what we do. We project that criticism out here. So if you know Virgos, they're starting to get really critical. They're just at max point. If they're getting critical of the world out here, they need time, that alone time. So if you know a Virgo, or if you are a Virgo, or if you have a lot of Virgo and you're starting to get crabby, which is a Cancer word, right? But if you're getting crabby, if they're getting like, they're starting to nitpick everything, they need some time alone and you need to give it to them. Like, let them have it. Let them have that super long walk. Let them have that super, you know, door shut. Read a book, get them out, and you take care of whatever you need to take care of them. Give them some space. Wherever in your chart you have that going on, where Virgo is, that's where you need space too. So in other words, if you're a Virgo rising, you can tell you're going to need space if your outside critic is huge. If everybody sees you as just like, oh God, here she is. She's like, give them a room to clean, right, Quelly? Give them a room to take care of. Where does it come from? Well, it comes from sort of like in the psyche of the Virgo was a sense of wanting to help and wanting to be. And when they did, this is like the story of Astraea in a sort of modern version. Are you watching Chaos on Netflix? K-A-O-S. It's starting to get pretty fascinating if you can give it a minute, but it's kind of brilliant. It's sort of like the modern day gods, like Jeff Goldblum plays Zeus, who is like the egomaniac of egomaniacs. It's adorable how he does it. I think he's doing an incredible job. But it reminds me of how we talk about these modern day mythologies with the zodiac, with, for example, Virgo being, you know, now it was Astraea at the time of the myth was so offended that mankind was being competitive that she left. And I can't even tell you the number of Virgos who have left my life. That worked for me, that knew me, that were listening to me. It was Virgo. And I've told you this before. It was Virgo that got offended. It's the Virgos who get, well, okay. And who's number two? Aquarius. And we'll talk about their similarities too. So the Virgos are the ones that go, well, F you. Bye. Bam. Shut the door. And guess what they get? Alone. Which is what they want. They're the loners of the zodiac, right? And so that does that now do have I distinguished with you enough the difference between alone and lonely? Right? Lonely is a judgment on aloneness. That's all it is. So if you're lonely, then you're just sort of like looking at it going, I have nobody, and you're sort of doing this list. It doesn't mean lonely is a selfish thing. It's an interpretation of where you are, but it's also like sort of like you might just be missing companionship. You might just be missing people. And that makes me sad because I hate for you to feel that way if you are feeling that. But if you don't wire it that way, if you have a part of you that you can connect to that sort of perks you up a little bit, and I've talked to you about developing that inner voice because I do think it's closest that we can get to hearing a spiritual voice, a kind voice, a nice voice, something that sort of is outside of time and space, because you've practiced being able to hear kindness in your head. You got to do that, right? Every once in a while, you got to think, is there a kind voice in my head? Is there something that goes, okay, I hear, like we can be our ugliest self, complaining about everybody, like me, complaining about everybody, everything, blah, 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 the world, my life, my parents, my blah. But if I don't have a place that goes, you know, I hear you, and all of that is legitimate from one point of view, but here's another way to look at it. A kinder, gentler, sweeter, more tolerant voice. If I don't create that, then I can't really recognize how to get it when I really need it. And sometimes we really need it when we're just at the end of something, when we're at the end of a rope, when we're really depressed, when we're really like, and Virgo is prone to depression, you guys. And what is that depression? The depression is where that sort of voice, that critic, has finally turned on itself. Okay. Which is why when you think about a Virgo who's really know-it-all-y, you know, the Virgos who are really know-it-all-y, this is like, you could go, I know an Aquarian like that. They're very similar. And I'll talk, and there is a difference between the two, but they have very similar affect. So if you know a Virgo, if you know somebody who is sort of critical and know-it-all-y, like you know, oh, of course I knew that, or, you know, I told you, and they were right, and they're always right, but they're so smug about it. You don't want them to be, you pray they aren't. You pray one time that you can Schadenfreude them away, like something happens, you can laugh. And so those people, think about it. They have a moment where that voice is going to turn on them. I promise it happens. And it's terrifying. It's actually sad because they realize they've made a mistake, or they finally took an introspective look and go, oh, and they haven't cultivated Miss or Mr. Nice Guy inside. They haven't cultivated a voice that says, you know what? You have to have some compassion here. And that's all that's happening. So all that outward is just a defense against when it happens on the, when it starts turning its attention back to you. And that's why it's so important under this Virgo time period, especially for this new moon, a gift of the new moon, by the way, is that you recognize you can be absolutely hated in the world. You can hate a certain quality about yourself. You can hate a lot of things about yourself. It's okay. It is. Can you believe that? Because denying that you hate it doesn't make the hate go away. Seeing that you hate it finally gives it some air, gives it some validation, gives it a chance to release. Okay, I get it. I'm a pig here. This is where I'm bad. And then it can heal. And then you slowly cultivate the voice that goes, I get it. I know why that hurts. I know why you're mad. I know why that person breaks your heart sometimes. But here's another way to look at it. And you start hearing it differently. And that is a duality gift. Meaning, Virgo, the change sign, the change from summer to fall, has two sides. And the one side isn't the winner of the other. Like, in other words, you can have the side that goes, everybody sucks, but you can also have the counter voice. And it's easier to find when you're in the midst of the mutability, when you're in the midst of Virgo, which we are. The only thing that cripples us is when we think we know what we're doing and we make an evaluation about it. Like, that's a horrible thing to do. And all of a sudden now there's judgment. The light switch got turned on. There's judgment. Instead of, oh, look at me doing it. There I go. There's a big difference, right? That's a horrible thing to do. And, oh, there I go again. There it is. And you start lightening up a little bit. Now, I had a great talk yesterday. Hi, Teresa, Carol, Joe, our friends that live in a close by other city will often, like maybe once a month, we'll gather and on a Sunday and we get to chat, and it's really fun. And we were talking about my awkwardness when I go out in the world. Like when I take my walks and I run into people, I've talked to you about this before, where I forgot their name and I'm like obsessing for the next 20 minutes of the walk about reviewing that. And I can just feel the crippling effect it's having on me. Like, keep walking until it goes away. Just whatever it is. It's like a judgment. I call it my Saturn in the first. It's the curse of Saturn in the first. I'm not spontaneous. I don't know how to be. I am, I think. But I'm like, and so then I'm criticizing it for the rest of the day. But here's the thing. I think it's really important. That part that exists that in me that's sort of like crippling at first, like where I'm like, it's what makes the total package of me. So if somebody is like sort of endeared by me, it partly might be because I'm sitting there and the struggle is kind of subtly apparent, because I don't think it's that apparent usually because I'm covering it up pretty well. But I think it's the sort of category, one of the categories that makes me who I am. It's just going to be there. I'm awkward at first. I can be awkward at first. I'm like so in my head, so ultra Scorpio rising, that I don't know really what's happening out here yet. It takes a minute. And then I review it, and then I do the same attack that I do to everything. And then I settle. It's okay. Okay. Now, I have one of two choices. Like, go, oh, that's an awful thing you do. Or get the other voice that says, there you go again. There you go again. There it is. And sort of chuckle at it, because I can laugh at it with you guys. And all of a sudden, it changes from this wart I have to hide to a wart that kind of defines who I am a little bit. It's a little part of the mix. And each time's a little more comfortable, and each time's a little bit. And so if you think of it that way, like, how many of you have said, I hate this part of myself? You know, and I think about people with skin diseases that discolor them, or that what they have to do in their life just to show up. Because some things you can't hide. You can't hide skin color. You can't hide skin abnormalities, especially if they're on your face. And you have to find a way to love who you are. You have to find the people who see past your skin and see your heart, your eyes, your thought. See the struggle. That's who you're going to be drawn to, right? Because there are a lot of people that are going to go, ooh, I can't look at that. But there are a lot of people who don't care about that. They don't see that. They don't hear that. They're feeling something different. And that's what we look for. And that, listen, I don't go for them statements about you got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. That is so bullshit to me. It means nothing. And I hope that's not too radical for y'all to hear, but it just means nothing. It's another reason to hate yourself before you can do anything else. Well, I'm never going to love myself, so I guess I'm, right? But if you can stop the attack a little bit, if you can change it from this is the worst part of you, I hate this part, to there I go again, changes everything. It takes it out of what it means to love. It takes it out what it means to be intimate. It takes it out what it means to be self-loving. It takes it out of all the rules and makes it a little more comfortable for you in that moment to be who you are. A little more comfortable in that moment to love your life. That's all we're looking for, right? A little opening. When life is hard, isn't it like a moment you look for a little relief? Oh God, thank you. Whatever. Your favorite show. Maybe some of you come here for that. Maybe, and I feel sorry for you. I'm so sorry. No, I'm grateful to you for that. But what about, or, you know, your favorite TV show, like something to take you away. Just get me out of here. Or a favorite book, a favorite song. That's what music does, right? To me, music in that right moment. And there's this thing, I'm a Spotify person, and there's this moment. There's this moment where your personal playlist just got badass. Like, oh my God, thank you for playing this. I forgot I had it. And it's like, oh, and then there's times where it's like, turn that thing off. Ugh. Okay. So my point is that's kind of what we're looking for in life. That moment, the little opening, the little crevice where there's some peace, where you're not doing this sort of rage against your body's machine, rage against the world, rage against the la, la, la. It's peace. And when you can give that, and sometimes giving that means practicing it a little, like every time I'm awkward, which is daily, every time I meet that new person on my walk with the boys who had now run around my legs so that the leash is now going to make me trip if I move, and what an idiot I must look like. Every time I can sort of chuckle at myself with that, every time I can give myself a little bit of like room to breathe, to be kind, to sort of laugh at, oh, well, you know, it's part of the package. It's part of why they endear you. It's part of blah, blah, blah. You kind of have that moment of more peace, more availability of it anyway, because let me tell you, you got to get back taxes due, bills to be paid, What am I going to do about the future? People that you love being sick, people that are hurt. You got to get back to the real world at some point. That, and I hate calling it that. It's really not the real world. But you got to get back to some of the harsher realities that exist in our face. So when you have a chance, and this is such a Virgo thing, it really is. When you have a chance to eke out a little niche for your kindness, for the sort of like unjudgy voice, do it, niche it out, because judgy is going to be there. So people go, oh, you shouldn't be so hard on yourself. Well, shut up, because I am. I mean, really, what else you got to say? I know, I already know all that. And I appreciate the intent, but it's sort of like saying, you shouldn't be so awkward. You don't have to be so awkward. Well, yeah, right. But I am. And that in lies the secret to well-being. Is any moment you can, when you can turn it around just a little bit, then you made it okay for you in that moment. And it's like, oh my God, that's one more moment of peace. That's one more, because time is moving fast, right? Am I wrong? Yeah, I'm probably wrong for a lot of you. But time is moving fast for those of us that's moving fast. So we grab those little cherishable moments when we can. A moment just to feel okay. Okay, you are being extremely hard on yourself, kind of thing. And when it happens, like when I'm embarrassed and like I'm obsessing about it for the next 15 minutes of the walk, I'm aware, just being aware that I'm doing it, like, oh, here you go. See you later. You're just going to tear your ass up for 15 minutes. What are you going to do? Well, that moment when I just laughed at it, it decreased it by 50%. Just being aware of it without a judgment, without like, you know, you idiot. Without any of that, makes a difference a little bit, because then guess what you're doing? You might not do it as much to somebody else you're seeing it happen to, where you can throw a little compassion out there, make their little embarrassment a little less embarrassing, having some, because you know it so well, it's so familiar to you. And that's sort of like paying it forward. That's sort of like giving back a little bit, because that's what it's about for yourself, right? So and all this stuff, and if you go to social media and you see these phrases, like the one I used today, virtue signaling, which I really do hate that phrase. So I'm using it to love it again, to be okay, at peace with it. But anytime the internet is constantly giving us new phrases, right? New words, brat, you know, this new, and then it becomes the news thing. Like, do you, and there's even a survey, do you get offended being called brat? Oh, God, help me. So the internet is constantly giving us reason to self-hate, to be embarrassed. And it goes from this illusion that we're seeing all these amazing people in their happy life. I was just asking a friend. I think I mentioned this before, but I'm mentioning it again. Blue Chew? I'm advertising a freaking commercial. And it's these women that all look alike, and it's all women talking about this product that's for men. And I remember telling a friend, first of all, I didn't know, like, this standard of looking, this like this look-alike thing kind of drove me a little crazy, because it's like the definition of what beautiful is now. And he said, yeah, because the idea is men could have that woman. And so I was like, oh, or, you know, because it's for men. It's a product for erectile dysfunction, I guess. And you chew it. And so anyway, I was like, it just the whole thing. And I was thinking, like, what if I wasn't the woman that looked like that? If I was a woman, and, you know, what if I did take that and a woman like that didn't want me? And I, you know, it's like, whatever. It's the hate, the self-hate. And there's a reason that it's perpetuated online. There's a reason that the commercials are formatted that way. There's a reason that fashion and being hip is so important, because I think we have more and more and more hook into, and it's always been this way, the have and the have nots. And if you can't get this, if you can't have this, then we'll have to go hunt inexpensive ways to make it look like I do, because that somehow is the goal. Okay. So the point is, there's a million places we can go self-hate on ourselves. And what defines cool and what defines having. And to me, in my head, the fantasy of the coolest person in the world is really just content, happy. They're being who they are. You can tell they didn't spend a whole fortune trying to figure out what to wear or to wear, you know, to have anything that even looks remotely like somebody's signatures on it. It's just happy, just looking at peace, content inside themselves. That's our goal, right? And my goal. Let me check on you guys and see how you're doing, because there's a lot coming up and I'm going to cover that right now in the last 10 minutes of the show. I want to talk about what's up and coming, because there is a lot up and coming. But I need to get back to you. So I'm coming. I'm hitting refresh on my Facebook page, in the group page. And then I'm hitting comments, and I'm hitting top comments, and I'm changing it to all comments. So you know what I'm doing. And I see Kay Dragon in the house. Hi, Kay. Welcome. Kay's an advisor and a channel over at 12listen.com. Has an extraordinary show, Strands of Wisdom, on Thursdays. Oh, my gosh. Kathleen Hall's in the house. Hi, Kat. Kat's show, or Kathleen Hall. I still call her Kathleen Hall. It's Kathleen Nicholson. I even look, it says Kathleen Nicholson. I mean, marriage threw me, right? And I love her husband. I love so much about Kat. But Kat is the show after mine, the Intuition Hour. If you've never heard Kat or seen Kat or been with Kat, you get to see, you'll be an hour of readings, an hour of talk, an hour of her wisdom, and how she's so, this is somebody who trusts so much the world of magic and omens and the intuitive part, that trusts it so much within herself that she is able to effectively translate that very powerfully to us. And so she's also a dear friend. I was so excited that she took the show space after mine with Christina LaFrance, who was needing to take a sabbatical for, you know, health reasons, and is coming back too. So Kat, Christina was like, you know, whatever, I'm happy to let go for a while. Let me do my healing. Let me do my stuff. And Kat was like, I would love that slot. And I was like, I'd love to have you after my show, like the old days. And she's there. So she's after me. If you didn't know that, the Intuition Hour, you have to listen in. It's really fun. You can even go to this chat room and post questions, and Kat will do everything she can to take care of them. I don't know where her battery comes from, but it's otherworldly, because it never goes away. So welcome, Kat. Thanks for being in the room. Lynn, thank you. Lynn said, love learning and laughing with you, Mark. You know, you make it safe for me, Lynn. So thank you too, Scorpio, that you are. Renee said, Mark, that's right. I was one in the family to take care of Dad when it was my time. My son, Mercury and Mars, and Pluto is in Virgo. It's the curse of the Virgo children, Renee, and I love you for it, because my friend, who's a Virgo, took care of every single sick member of her family, selflessly. And I'm telling you, it's like, I'm horrible at it. I can't do it. I sent money to my family to take care of Mom when she lost her mind, because what am I going to do? I went and she had a fit. She was like, who is that guy? I was like, okay, perfect. Thank you. That's great. I wasn't hurt, honestly. She was not in her right mind. You think to yourself, well, if I meant enough to you, your disease wouldn't have made you forget me. It doesn't happen that way, guys. So I didn't get to say goodbye to her really officially, because we did have some good times together, me and Ma. And she did teach me some tough jabs to make to the world. But when she left, it was sort of like, oops, overnight. Like, wow, no longer there. So Virgo that she was, she also took care of her mother every day. I mean, she was the terror of the hospital. She had an Aries moon, and she was the terror of the hospital. And I always remember, like, thinking, that's me if somebody that I love gets sick, but I don't go. I mean, I have no reason, nobody in the hospital yet, no one to defend. But it's not about being mean. I don't do it that way. I do it. It's about being unafraid. You know, it's about being, why is this happening this way? Why is this going on? You know, and can we fix it? And just not being afraid if somebody's irritated, but whatever, you Virgos are amazing at it. Renee said, if you want to offend a Virgo, just tell them to stop trying to help you. Then, yeah, that's true. And they go, well, then fix it right. Or take care of yourself. Laura, good to see you. Thanks for being here. Judith, welcome, midst of Virgo. Welcome, honey. Thank you, Dragon Lady. Serena's in the house. Serena has a show too. Let me see. It's after Kat. Is Lori Love, the Love Sherpa. And then we have Jamie Dawn, and then we have Serena. So Serena has a show after Amazing Advisor as well. These advisors are really ridiculously good. Good morning, Mark. Happy New Moon. Virgo always feels a bit stressful for my sad self, but I'm working on tapping into and clean and organized energy at least. Loving your show as always. Thank you, Serena. It is hard for Sag. That's a square to Sag. It's 40. It's three signs away, right? Four signs away because it goes Virgo and then Libra, Scorpio, Capricorn, and then Sag, right? Yeah. So that's four signs away. And every four signs away is the square to you, which is a 90-degree angle, which means you're going to have conflict and you're not going to really get it. So Sag and Virgo are kind of like strange agents to each other. Now I have a Libra in my life and I'm a Cancer, the same thing, four signs away, and we just have places where it's like, okay, I can't go there, you can, good. And I'm like, good, go. Judith says, but a Scorpio moon makes you a laser surgeon, no crap allowed. Cranial brain surgeons have to know what isn't is not what they can remove from the frontal cortex that's unnecessary. Wait a minute, they have to know what is. What is what? Or they might remove some frontal cortex unnecessarily. Thanks, Judith. That's pretty good. There is that, but the problem is when that laser focus is turned against the self, right? Because then you see all the stuff that should have been lasered out that wasn't. Gwen says, Rage Against the Machine, Evil Empire. I love it. Gwen, good job. That's exactly what happens when we turn on ourselves. Nadine, good morning, Mark and all. On my way to Alaska in between flights. Very exciting. Oh my gosh. Have a great trip, Nadine. And Lori's in the house. Hi, Lori. Love Lori. Lori, the Love Sherpa, is on after Kat Nicholson's show, The Intuition Hour, right after mine, like I've said. All right. So let's talk a minute about this. You guys, listen. I can't even stress the importance of what I'm about to tell you. Pluto, we talked about Pluto. I'm going to be having a lot more to say about Pluto, trust me. But Pluto is at 29 Capricorn. It left Aquarius. Hey, Aquarians, Pluto left you. Just temporarily going backwards, but it's at 29 Capricorn. We talked about 29. This is so important. If you have Pluto in Libra at 29, which I know some people do, that's your last Pluto square. It's big. It's big. It's been going on for a while. It's also big because it's going to be here through the election, and then it'll never be here again in our lifetime. No matter how cryogenically pro you are, I don't think any of us are going to make it 240 years. But that's okay. Maybe you will, and I don't want to shatter your dream. But Pluto in Capricorn is back. And if you understand Pluto, if you understand the depth and the hell that Pluto wants you to walk through, not hell in the sense of like your life's a living hell, it's hell like Hades. And Pluto is the journey that can take us there with our eyes opened and see where the flaws are in things. Okay, it just has a really, really, really intense way of doing that sometimes. But on the fifth time it enters, this is the fifth hit into Capricorn. Okay, when it for 29 degrees Capricorn, it keeps leaving, coming back. This is the last moment of Pluto's journey into Capricorn. And now my theory, we get gifts from this. Now it might be the gift of exposure, of seeing like the truth behind the curtain. It could be, oh my gosh, I can't even begin to predict it. It's so intense to predict because it's also the same place where Pluto in the United States chart is. So this is such a profound time of change. But if you happen to have something at 29 in your chart, and I know this is getting a little geeky for those of you that don't know your chart, don't understand your chart, which you don't have to, it's all fine. But those of you that are listening that do, If you have something at 29, this is big, especially if it's in an earth sign. That's pretty empowering for you. If it's in an air sign, it could be pretty uprooting for you. But this is the last hit. So things have been uprooted already. And this is saying we're about to come into a time of peace around it. But there's another planet that's also at 29, and that's Neptune. And it's going to go into Aries next year. We're going to have a lot of talk about that because let me tell you something. Neptune is the one that tells us what the cycle is going to be. It paints the picture. It paints the reality. Pluto tells us the behind the scenes and uproots what's being hidden. Neptune colors the reality in front of us. And right now it's in Pisces. And if you think about it, it's been in Pisces. All it's drugs and dreams and look at all the fuck. Oh, I was going to say fudging, you know, I was going to say the F word. I think it's too early in the morning for that. But look at all of this deluge of pharmaceutical drugs. It's crazy on the market, on TV. It's like we're only one of two countries. Us and New Zealand are the only countries that allow pharmacies to advertise their wares. Big business. It's true. Because then what do you want you to do? Go to your doctor and tell them you want this drug? I mean, it's just really interesting. So, but not only that, it's also about the deluge of experts online. Like where you got your wisdom from. Like it's a dream. Do you remember when you used to go to the news to get what's happening in the world? I don't even know where to find that. The Walter Cronkite days. I don't know where to find around the world what's happening. And let's go take a look. It's like I have to go piecemeal it together because it's like, I don't know. It looks like these stations are dedicated to the three main topics of the period. And I don't know. You guys, I don't know. Anyway, that's Neptune in Pisces. But guess what? It goes into Aries next spring. Night and day. Night and day. We're going to be talking about it. Someone just stay tuned. Okay. And I'm not, and nothing to me is a harbinger of anything catastrophic. I am not a big fan of believing that. I would never, ever terrorize you. I don't believe in it. I think we've got enough terror happening in the world. My point is, because I don't believe that that's what the planet's tell us. I do believe that they give us a sense of like, oh, that's why it's like all these pharmaceuticals, we wouldn't have questioned it if you don't take a step back and go, every other commercial is a song about like, and I know them all. They're my hit. I'm begging for the song on my playlist. That's how many there are. And I'm like, oh, I want that song in my playlist. Nothing is everything, right? I mean, it's crazy. Okay. But anyway, and music, right? Because that's Neptune. All that stuff, it's in its ruler's time. Let me tell you, when it gets into Aries, if you think you've been in a dream, but you kind of feels like a dream, you are going to really think you woke up when it's Aries. Okay. Last but not least, Uranus is at 27. Taurus. So Uranus is at the last of a sign as well. So you have the biggest planets that we have in our solar system all changing signs in the same year. That is huge, you guys. I can't even begin to tell you how huge. I mean, Uranus takes 7 years to go through a sign. Neptune takes like 14. Pluto can take up to 20. And they're all going to be changing at the same year. It should say something to you. If nothing, it should say, oh, this isn't going to last forever. This where I am right now. And y'all have been coping beautifully. We've all been coping beautifully. Who knew we were going to live through the weirdest pandemic that ever hit us? Weird and hurtful and painful and just uprooting as hell. And we made it. You did it. You did it. You did it. But wait till you look back on this with clarity. Because right now you're still in the dream. We're still in that lucid dreaming state, I think. All right, I'm going to check on you one more time. And there's a new moon coming, you guys, this evening. You got to be happy about that. You do. You do, because it's going to change. You're going to feel the shift like almost instantly tonight. You got to check it out on Mark's Power Peak, markhusson.com or markspowerpeak.com. And then the password is 9999. All right. I'm reloading for the last hit before I'm signing off for the Labor Day moment. Check on you guys. Okay. Here we go. Oops. I got to do view comments and then hit top comments and change it to all comments. There we go. Okay. Judith, thank you. Mark, you really have a wonderful older brother voice. Thanks, Judith. That's so sweet. Joy Riddle. Hello, Mark. I'm a Gemini. My moon in Virgo. Okay. I'm in declutter mode. Question is how to break the connection to things. By asking your question, a couple things. Take a picture of it. This is Marie Kondo. Take a picture of it, number one. Number two, have you done anything with it in the past year, 2 years, really, other than look at it? If you haven't, then offer the same love and bless it and give it away. If you have, then find a special place for the things that are really special to you. It's not about the quantity, though. I want you to understand that. It's about your relationship to it. Is it loving to keep it around? Is it a burden? Is it just a have to thing? I mean, that's kind of where to go with it. How loving is this to me? How, you know, and would it serve as well if I turned it into a picture, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, don't make it a big deal. And if it's not an absolute yes, I can give this away, then treat it like it's a no, I need to keep it. Okay. But try not to overthink it, please, Gemini Virgo. Okay, Joy, really? Judith, do or die, says I. Pluto, Cher saying, baby, it's all or nothing now. Yeah, absolutely. Right on, Judith. I love it. So those of you that can't be in the room, Esther, all you guys, thank you so much for the love and warmth. Those of you that did make it, thank you. Those of you that are listening, oh my God, thank you. I'm on it, buzzsprout.com. You can find sign up and be notified when we get these uploaded. Apple Podcasts, and I'm on a little Spotify. It's so cute. Me and Joe Rogan right next to each other. Who knew? You guys, thank you. Happy Labor Day. Happy Virgo. Please be as loving as possible. Okay. And think of me being awkward on my walks, because I am, and I'll take you with me and we'll have more stories to share as I trip over my leashes and my little dogs lovingly tolerate their clumsy daddy. Happy Virgo, you guys. Much love to you. This is Mark Husson signing off.